As the 2008 Democratic National Convention edges ever closer, we turn the clocks back 40 years to remember, well, one turbulent convention.
Welcome to Chicago,
the 35th Quadrennial Convention of the Democratic Party of the United States is now called in session.
But just around the corner is the evidence that somebody doesn't want all of the city's citizens welcoming anybody.
As I said, a turbulent time back then, and in May this year, many wondered what this year's Democratic convention, once again in Chicago, they wondered whether it would look a little bit like that of the one in 1968 after Hillary Clinton talked of taking the nomination all the way to the convention. But Barack Obama racked up enough delegates and superdelegates to take the lead, though not without some lingering bitterness on the part of some Clinton supporters. Still, with the presumed nominee in place, next week's convention is likely to be a choreographed and camera-ready convention. A stark contrast, of course, to the anti-war protests, police riots, and all the wheeling and dealing that went on in 1968 in Chicago. Michael Kazin was part of that history. As an undergrad, he went to the convention and ended up in jail. He joins us now to talk about then and now. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you.
How is this year different from 1968?
Well, this year the Democratic Party, as you say, is not completely united, but it's a lot more united than it was in 68. There's no issue that divides Clinton people from Obama people the way there was dividing the anti-war Democrats from the pro-war Democrats in 68. So we're very unlikely to see the kind of protest, the kind of police response to those protests this year that we did 40 years ago.
And how would you describe this lingering bitterness from the primary process? Do you think that will play out in some way at the convention?
Well, of course, the two groups, two camps, if you will, have decided that there's going to be some sort of roll call vote, and Hillary Clinton's name will be put in nomination, evidently. But that's really an attempt to tamp down any kind of protest, I think, rather than an attempt to keep the bitterness, the conflict going. After all, it was a very close race, much closer than 68 was, by the way, when it was pretty clear Hubert Humphrey was going to get that nomination, whatever happened in the primaries, because he didn't need any primary votes to win the nomination that year.
I should add that you're actually a professor of history at Georgetown University. That have anything to do with your experience of landing in jail in 68? How was that?
Well, I was just a young anti-war protester at the time. I wasn't a historian, but I've written history of the 1960s since then, and my most popular course I teach in college is a history of the U.S. in the 1960s. So, you know, in many ways, I think being involved in politics in the 60s helped me get interested in the history, helped me get interested in the roots of these conflicts in American history, and to try to understand them and write about them and teach about them.
Describe the atmosphere when you were that young anti-war protester.
Well, Chicago felt very much like a war zone. There were thousands of police on the streets. They were working 12-hour shifts instead of the usual 8-hour shifts, so most of Chicago police seemed to be on the streets. The National Guard were being held in reserve not too far away from the city, and it was pretty clear that both sides were geared up for battle of some kind. Of course, the police were much better armed than the protesters were, but the protesters, me included, I'm afraid to say, were really wanted to disrupt the convention. And
that would include yourself?
Pardon me?
That would include yourself?
That would include myself, yes. Yes, we thought the Democrats were the war party. They were the party that had escalated the war in Vietnam, and we wanted to show our outrage at that. And Hubert Humphrey, of course, was the vice president during the time when the war had been escalated. So we saw him as a very bad politician.
And how do you think these conventions have evolved over the past 40 years?
Well, they've really become, as you said in your introduction, very much so infomercials running over 4 days for the candidate who's been chosen elsewhere. Whereas in 68, and you know, for a while in the 70s too, conventions really mattered. Even if the roll call vote was decided upon. Still, there were lots of negotiations that took place about the vice presidency at these conventions. There were battles about credentials. There were battles in 68 about credentials and also in the 70s. So conventions were really a place where the party made big decisions that had not been decided on beforehand. Now, it's all for television and for parties and for fundraising and so forth and to try to get a bump in the polls.
Well, Michael Kazin, we'll be looking forward to see how the conventions unfold next week and the week after. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Michael Kazin, professor of history at Georgetown University and former anti-war protester who found himself in jail. And the Democratic Convention is in Denver,
okay.
Not Chicago.
Well, it happens. We're always on here at The Takeaway. You can catch up with us on Facebook, Friend Feed, Twitter. Today, we're following the ongoing conflict between Russia and Georgia. We're also looking at how the palette has become political, and we're catching up with Obama's text messages.
And we're also talking all day about a new census report that says more and more women are not having children. We want to know how you were making those choices, whether or not to have kids.
Hi, my name is Alyssa. I do believe there has to be an elevated consciousness happening in humanity that we have become somewhat of an infestation on the planet, and all life on the planet seems to be suffering. It would be interesting if laws would take place that anyone who does decide to have a child would have to adopt a child as well.
Huh, that's an interesting thought. Thanks, Elise. Give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or follow the conversation on our website, thetakeaway.org.
We're still on our campaign road trip. Takeaway political director Andrea Bernstein and our producer Adam Hirsch are on the road. Following their trip on the show and online at thetakeaway.org.
And here's today's takeaway.
The more people tell you about this one, the more you should be concerned and the more you should check if you've still got your wallet.
That was Chicago Public Radio's Ben Calhoun talking about what to watch out for if someone tells you they know who Obama's going to pick for VP. Of course, that's Obama.
Hey, hey.
Unless it's Obama, of course.
That's your takeaway. Here's mine.
What you eat is far more important than where it comes from.
Ah, that's our friend Mark Bittman, the New York Times food writer. He writes the Minimalist column.
And if you missed anything from our show and want to weigh in, go to the website, thetakeaway.org.
I'm Catherine Lanfer, in for John Hockenberry.
And I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.